Good morning, and welcome to all of you for our family service this morning. If you're primary age and did not receive one of the sheets that go along with the message this morning, there might be a few left, and you can just kind of raise your hand, and we'll get one of those to you. This morning, we are thinking about the church, and that is what we have been discussing during our family services over the last few months. We have looked at a number of things. In the last 2 months, we've looked at the fact that the church is not a building, but the church is the people of God who God is using for the worship and the glory of himself. And then last month, Jeremy looked at the fact that the church is headed by Jesus, and that Jesus as the head says that we are the body, and that we do and move and walk and grow as the head leads us and guides us. And so this morning, we're going to look at another aspect of the church. Now, before we begin, I want to start just real briefly about part of my story. My story is that I grew up going to church. My parents started taking me when I was a wee boy, before I could even remember what was going on in life. And so I remember when we came to this part of the service, especially on days when I didn't have the opportunity to leave during this part of the service, I just didn't know what to do with it. Oftentimes, I would find myself in a state of slumber. This is not a self-portrait. We didn't have phones back in those days. Maybe this was a Polaroid, for those of you that know what that is. But I always sat there and went, he's going to talk for so long. And why is he up there talking? And why is he going on and on? And what is this book that he's reading out of? And why I'm just so tired? And I would often find myself just falling asleep, because I didn't know what in the world was happening. I didn't know why we were doing what we were doing. And so what we want to talk about this morning is we're going to preach about preaching, which is a little bit strange, I guess. But we're going to look at preaching because it is what is called oftentimes one of the marks of the church. Now, that phrase, marks of the church, I don't think that's anywhere to be found in the scriptures. That actually comes from a time about 500 or so, give or take, years ago, when the church was kind of a mess a little bit, and some folks came along to say, what is it? What are the things that distinguishes the church, the true church, from something else, from anything else, from even what the church was at that time? And what is it that God's word says marks it out, makes it different, sets it apart? I like to think of it this way, as over the years I've asked this question. As we think about what we do on Sunday mornings, what we say as we get up here and we preach, and what we do together as God's people, what makes us any different than people who gather together to talk about gardening? What makes us any different than people who get together to talk about cars, or to talk about their hobbies, or anything else? What makes us any different from a civic organization? What marks us as the church? And one of those marks that people back then, a couple hundred, 500 or so years ago, during what's called the Protestant Reformation, one of those marks that they came up with was the preaching of God's word. That it is a mark of what the church is, because we have the word of God here before us, and we have the opportunity to hear it proclaimed and told to us this morning. And each week as we gather together, that is one of the marks of the church. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at some more of the marks of the church as we go through the next several months. So the question that I want to start off with is, what is preaching? And I've come up with a brief definition. It's just my own. It's not from the scripture. verbatim, although I took a lot of it from what Paul says in the book of Colossians that Jeremy read to us. And if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them back to Colossians and then take one of your fingers and kind of put them in Timothy, because we're going to go kind of back and forth between these two passages as we think about what it means and what it is that we do, that I do, that Jeremy does, that others who we invite to come in when they stand up here in front of you during this half hour or so. What is it that we are doing? What is preaching? So here is my working definition. It is proclaiming Jesus so that we might know his riches through belief in him by grace. Preaching is us proclaiming Jesus. That is, we're going to look at that here in a second, as well as one of the points, but it's proclaiming Jesus so that we might know his riches. I've been studying this passage this week, and just what's jumped out at me is how Paul describes what it is to be in Christ, what it is to know Jesus. He says that is the riches of God. So when we proclaim Jesus so that we might know his riches, that we might know that God is in us, that we have all of his glory and righteousness and holiness has been given to us, and that comes to us through believing in him, and that believing in him is only by God's grace. And so that is what we get to stand up here and to open this book and to say, here is what God says is true about you and about me. And so that, I think, as we begin this morning, is how we can begin to wrap our minds about what is it that we are trying to do. And by correlation, by relation to that, is what we're not trying to do. We're not trying to promote ourselves. We're not trying to promote anything other than Jesus. And we definitely, desperately seek God's guidance in doing that. So this morning, I want us to think about four P's that come from these two passages as we think about preaching and we think about this definition of what preaching is, four P's of what we are doing here. The first we've already mentioned is to proclaim. If you go back to these passages, let's think about what Paul has told the church in Colossians, and he tells Timothy in verse 28 of Colossians, he says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom." Then Paul says a little bit earlier, "I have," in verse 25, "I've become its servant," that is the church, "by the commission that God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness," to present, to proclaim. If you go over to Timothy, what Paul says to him, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, I give you this charge, preach the word." And so we are called to proclaim Jesus, to make an announcement is what to another way to say the word proclaim. Paul uses it here again and again and again. And what does he say that we are to proclaim? We are to proclaim Jesus. We are to proclaim the gospel. That word gospel, oftentimes we throw it around a lot. We say it a lot, this word gospel. Do we know what the word gospel means? It simply means good news. And its original use in the time of Jesus and before, that the idea was that someone who had just come from a battle that a city or a nation state had won, and they ran with a gospel message back to the city. And they came in and they said, we have the gospel to proclaim to you. Meaning we have good news that the battle has been won. And so Paul and others will take that idea and we'll take that word gospel and say, this is what we proclaim. We proclaim to you that the battle has been won. That God, through his Son, has conquered sin. He has taken our sin. He has taken the punishment that was due to us for our sin, and he has placed it on Jesus. And Jesus died in our place. And from that, Jesus was in the grave for 3 days, and then he rose again 3 days later. And by that, he demonstrates that he conquered death. He won. He won over sin and death. And we now, through believing in him, we can receive that life that he offers us, because the battle has been won. And that is what we get to proclaim. What does the word contain when Paul tells Timothy, preach the word? Jesus, as he goes on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, I believe it is, he says to two guys walking along, let me explain to you everything in the Old Testament because it's all about me. And he explains it to them. He shows them from the word that it is about him. He opens their minds to see that. And so when Paul says, preach the word, we proclaim who? We proclaim him. That is what we have the opportunity to do, is to proclaim this Jesus and to proclaim that message of hope and life. And if you're here this morning and you don't yet believe that, you're here this morning and you're not even sure why you're here, but you like coming. We have good coffee and tea and biscuits afterwards, or you just have friends here, and we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here each week. Hear this message. Hear this message that is for you, that there is life, as our study of John shows us, that we go through on our regular Sundays. There is life eternal, that by believing in him, that offer is for you. So come and believe. And if you have questions about that, come and ask. We would love to discuss that more and more with you. We proclaim this message because through the proclamation of that message, people's lives are changed. We come to faith and we come to life in Jesus. And so we get to, the preaching is a proclamation. Secondly, it is, it looks like it says perfect, but I want to pronounce it a different way, to perfect. The preaching of God's word is there for the perfection, the making us perfect of the saints. And you say, where in the world do you get that? Go back to the word again. Verse 28 of Colossians, Paul says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love and have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, which is Jesus. Do you hear what Paul is saying in those words when he says, we proclaim him, and what proclaiming him does is it presents us perfect in Christ. There is something about the opening of this God's holy word. It tells us that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces into our hearts. It pierces our souls. It shows us who we are and who we are being made into. As we open this up, it changes us. And that's what makes us different than a gardening club or a car club or any other type of civic organization, is that God's word, as it is proclaimed, it confronts us. Notice Paul says, back in 28, admonishing and teaching everyone. What does he tell Timothy? He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Sometimes we come to passages in God's word that it's a rebuke to us, and not to maybe anyone there except the one who's preaching it. We're rebuked by it because we're not living in light of how God has called us to live. We're doing something God has said, don't do, or we're not doing something God has said, this is what I want you to do. And so the word confronts us. It corrects us. That's what admonish means in a negative sense. It also can mean keep going. Do what God has called you to do. Correct, rebuke, encourage. And so God's word is there to perfect us. And so we take it and we proclaim it. Our goal is, and Jeremy and I haven't discussed this, but I'm pretty confident in saying this. Our goal as we preach God's word is never to hurt you. It's never to hurt. It's never to wound. But it's always to present the truth. And sometimes when we have to correct or rebuke, sometimes that does bring about some hurt. But it's always to push us towards Jesus. Because that's how God has said, this is how we will grow and we will be shaped and we will be molded. And so we don't shy away from hard things, and hard sayings in God's word, but we present them so that we would be molded and shaped more and more into the image of Jesus, into who God has created us to be molded and shaped into. And so the word of God as it's presented is there to perfect us. Third P, you go, kids, go. You have to go back to it. It's okay. You can fill them out. We've only got two more. To protect. It's a sheepdog. I've been watching This Farming Life on, I don't know, BBC 1, 2, 3, something. And the sheepdogs are just fantastic. We don't have sheep in America, so I never watched sheepdogs work. It's amazing to watch how they protect these sheep. And so the word of God is there to protect us. If you look in verse 4 of chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. And go over to Timothy. He says, Also in verse 3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And now back to Colossians, Paul says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And so we present God's word as a protection for us, because times will come where, I love that analogy of people will gather around them itching ears. I want to hear. I need to hear this certain thing. And oftentimes those things that our ears itch for are things that are not in line with the gospel. We want to hear that, you know what, I'm okay. Or that God has simply said, you're here, your greatest life is here on earth, and all God is here to do is to bless you with great wealth and riches in this life. And we want to hear that. It sounds, sometimes it's not couched in those terms. And so it sounds really appealing. And we go, wow, that sounds great. Or we even just, we watch the television, we listen to the radio, or we see advertisements, and we are drawn away from how God has called us to live, because we see things, we hear things, and think, that is what I really want. That's what's really going to satisfy me. And then we come into God's house, and as the word is open to us, we go, oh, you know what? That's not right. The word is there to protect us. The word is there to show us this is the truth. This is the truth of the gospel that is proclaimed to us, that we come to God by grace through faith, that our best life isn't here. Our best life is yet to come with him, when all things will be made perfect and holy and right and good, and we can rest in that truth of what is coming. And so God's word is there to protect us as we are informed with the truth. Last one, as we preach, the last P is to persevere. So this is Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if these are classics. At least I grew up reading these. They're fantastic. Named after John Calvin and Thomas Hobbes. One a reformer and another not so much. So Calvin is making a monumental heroic snow sculpture. It'll be called the Triumph of Perseverance. Very inspiring. What will it look like? This. You're through? I'm bored. Maybe you felt that way in the Christian life. Maybe you've got to a point where you're just like, I'm bored, or I want to give up, or why am I doing what I'm doing? I look at the world, and I'm sitting here, and we're singing, and I'm looking out the windows at a fairly windy, and yet the sun's out day, and there's people playing with their dogs out in the field, and I go, you know what? Maybe you've sat there and gone, what am I doing? And yet we need to come to God's word, because it says, here's what you're doing, and here's why you're doing this. Keep going. Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, verse 6 says in Colossians, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. How did we receive Christ Jesus? By grace through faith. And so just as we received him, keep going. Keep living by grace. Keep living by faith in him, and persevere as God protects us from these things coming in from the outside. We keep going. We keep looking at Jesus. And as we hear that word proclaimed to us, we realize that it is making us more and more like him. And so we don't present to you each week something different other than Jesus and living by grace through faith in him. It's not, okay, now that you've accepted Jesus, now I've got some rules and some regulations that you have to follow. And if you follow them, you're going to get some Jesus points. And if you get enough Jesus points, you get something when you get to heaven. That's not there. Paul says, keep going by faith. And out of that, this is why we live the way that we do, in honor and glory to God, not to earn God's love, but because God's love has been given to us. And so we gather together, we stand up here, and we teach and we do these things. We open God's word because it does these things for us, and so much more. There's so much more that we could say about what the preaching of God's word is there for. Two last things I want to say. One that I forgot to mention as we were thinking about Paul in verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy and how much he struggles for them. As we think about the preaching of God's word, we don't just throw these things together. We don't just wake up on Sunday morning and go, what am I going to talk about today? But we struggle over these things. We work through these things. We plan these things for hours, and we pray over them. We discuss them together because it is so important. Now, sometimes maybe one or two of mine haven't seemed like that. Maybe it did seem like, hey, you just threw that together. But that's not our goal. It's a struggle as we think about what is going on in the life of our church and our community and in people. We wrestle with these things in the Word. And so continue to pray for us as we continue to pray for you as we present the Word of God each week. Last thing that I want to say is I'm so glad my parents made me go to the service when I was a kid. Even though I slept through it some of the times, and then the other times I started drawing things, I could make some incredible stick figures I'm looking forward to actually seeing some of the drawings of me preaching that have been, some of you are looking forward to sharing those with me, I see. But I'm so glad because at one point it began to click. It began to click in my head, and I began to understand, and that was the work of God in my own life. And so just as an encouragement, parents, if your kids are here and they're like, what was the sermon about? And they go, I don't know, or I wasn't listening, just persevere with them. There will hopefully come a time where they will begin to answer that question and go, you know, it was about this. And then we can rejoice. It's good for us to be here. And so just an encouragement as we think about that, as we think about the preaching, sometimes we can think, you know, it's just a 30-minute nap that we're going to have, but it's not. It is the Word of God that is powerful, that does great things in our lives. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close our service.